Okay. The Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Bratfold, Chief Judge Siegel, Judge Bjorkman, the Honorable Diane Bratfold presiding.
Good morning to everyone. For the record, as the marshal just said, today's date is May 20th, 2020. This is panel six. This is a Minnesota Court of Appeals, and we have six matters on our calendar today. Two of them are oral. Counsel are appearing, as is the court, by WebEx. And so I'll just make a couple of preliminary remarks. I see everybody. I want to make sure that everyone can see the judges. So if counsel would indicate that, I'd appreciate it. Yes. All right, very good. I'm seeing both of you nod your heads. And then before you start your argument, I will call the case and then ask you to begin your remarks. You should take the time to introduce yourself as well as the client that you represent, just so that our record is clear. And then I hope that it's visible to all of you, the timekeeping device. There we go. Our marshal is making it obvious to us. Can everyone see it? Counsel in particular? Yes, okay. And so that will count down and let you know where you stand in terms of how much time is remaining. We are looking forward to our conversation with you today. So we very much appreciate you presenting today and preparing the arguments that you have on behalf of your clients. So with that, let me call the first case set for 9:30. It's A20-0002 in the matter of the welfare of the child of BMM and KJD parents. And with that, counsel for appellant, if you're ready, you can begin.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Ann Carlson, on behalf of appellant mother, BMM. I respectfully request to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
And counsel, we will do that, the same format we usually use. Thank you.
Thank you so much. In this case, the agency filed a petition to an expedited petition to terminate mother's parental rights. The court ordered the agency to make reasonable efforts towards reunification, including offering a case plan. The court then found in its TPR order that the agency was not required under the statute to provide services. I'm requesting reversal because the court ordered the agency to make reasonable efforts and the court's order was clearly erroneous in finding that the agency was not required under the statute to provide services. Futility means pointless. It means that there is nothing to be gained. There would be no purpose in services. And I don't understand how services can be futile if we are looking at a fact pattern that potentially could lead to reunification, which is the fact pattern we have here. Mother has a history of working with the agency, of following through with her case plan that she was given in the previous county. She was compliant with the case plan that she had in Pine County. She was committed to her chemical dependency treatment. The agency lists a number of mother's shortcomings, none of which the agency addressed or attempted to remedy in assisting her.
And counsel, just so that our record is clear here, I understand, and your briefing is certainly clear, that we're talking here about the agency connected with Pine County.
Correct, Your Honor.
And of course, our mother has a history, as you just alluded to, because she's had case plans as well with Todd County. And one of the issues that I saw in your brief had to do with how the district court treated the Todd County matter. And so I just want to make sure I understand. I saw references to jurisdiction. I am aware that the district court in the Pine County case was asked to take judicial notice of the Todd County proceedings. Do you criticize that? I didn't see clear briefing on it. If you did, I apologize.
No, thank you, Your Honor, and thank you for allowing me an opportunity to clarify. I believe, and I've had time to think this through since submitting both of my briefs. The issue is that the court found that, I mean, if we're looking at subparent five, reasonable efforts failed to correct the conditions that led to removal. 260C, subparent five. The court must be looking at the Todd County case plan because that's the only case plan that was under the supervision of the court. And the court found that the conditions of subparent five were met, including that the agency, the responsible social service agency, the efforts of that agency failed to correct the conditions that led to the basis of apparently the Tide County petition. And I reached that conclusion because I don't know how you could look at subparent 5 and say that it applies in Pine County. I don't believe that the question before the Pine County court was, did the efforts of Todd County correct the conditions that led to the Todd County petition?
So, counsel, I'm asking a little bit more basic question, you know, which is, this district court took judicial notice of the earlier Todd County proceedings and relied on, for example, you're mentioning one of them, the case plan that mother entered into. I can appreciate that you criticize the way it relied on the case plan and the way it did its analysis, but I really want to know the ground level. What about judicial notice? It's appropriate, isn't it, for a court to take judicial notice? That was the county's request here. The court did it. We see it all the time. There's case law and statutes that uphold that. So
thank you, Your Honor. There certainly is case law that upholds that the court can look to the previous case. And as far as my argument that the only relevant fact from the Todd County case was the amount of time in out-of-home placement, I was incorrect in that assessment. Research since submitting the briefs has led me to believe, of course, the court can take notice of what happened in the previous case. However, I don't believe it's appropriate to reach the conclusion that the Todd County social service agency failed, or that the efforts of Todd County failed to correct the conditions that led to the Todd County removal. Judicial notice is appropriate, and to the extent that the court was acknowledging the history of the family, that is correct. However, the court did not give analysis related to current conditions. It did not weigh the evidence that was presented by the mother regarding her commitment to her chemical dependency treatment, or why the witnesses that she presented from the chemical dependency center were either not credible or that their testimony was not worth any weight.
Well, but counsel, I understood the district court to in fact accept the testimony of the current, I mean, fall of 2019, treatment professionals who said she's not done. She's on the road. You know, this is a recovery relapse sort of process, which we all know. And she wasn't even going to be completing treatment until January of 2020. I mean, the district court considered that evidence, did it not?
It considered that evidence.
So that would go to the current situation or the situation at the time of the TPR, doesn't it?
Well, I would argue, Your Honor, I would argue that the burden on the county is to show that it's going to continue, that the conditions that led to the basis of the petition need to continue for an indeterminate period. If we know that she's graduating from treatment in January, I wouldn't call that an indeterminate period. I think that
counsel, though, the record is a little deeper than that. I mean, it's the district court found that as of now, you know, as of the time of the termination trial, mother not only was fully engaged in treatment and unable to provide a home for the child, but had no plans, you know, for a home for the child or employment going forward. And in fact, if I understand correctly, didn't even have a relative stepping forward to take care of the child. But that's a separate matter. So more importantly, in terms of her duties as a parent, I mean, the judge did look at mother's current abilities to meet those parental duties, and she was unable to do so as of the time of termination or even for the foreseeable future, you know, which is January 2020 after the termination trial.
Well, I believe that that analysis was lacking in evidentiary support. The court reached conclusions that were not supported by the record. So did the court make the correct conclusions? In that, did the court make findings that were necessary to support its conclusions? Yes, but I don't have an understanding of how the court reached those conclusions. And I don't know how this analysis can lead us to the conclusion that mother can't be rehabilitated when the agency has done absolutely nothing to rehabilitate her. The responsible social service agency, Pine County, has done absolutely nothing to rehabilitate her, despite an order that states that they are to provide reasonable efforts. So when we look at the projected permanency of the conditions that led to removal, where does the two-way street come in? Where does Pine County start to assist mother in figuring out, can you get a job? You know, you had a job lined up, you made an unfortunate choice, that was too bad.
So, counsel, it seems to me that to get to the crux of your argument, we have to look at why the district court decided that reasonable efforts were excused due to futility. And I know you started there and I set you on a different path. So the district court, in part, did that because it looked at the child's history and the track record that mother had. And I appreciate you have many criticisms of that, but it seems fundamentally what we're looking at is the out-of-home placement time and the judge's assessment that based on the number of days this child had been out of home within the past 5 years, that any further efforts and services by the county would be futile because there is a deadline to permanency.
There is a deadline for when the agency needs to file a permanency petition. That's correct. But the deadline that is facing the agency is not a substitute for a factual basis that would support a termination pursuant to the statute. And
is it
in
a
the
factor,
absence
counsel?
Of
is the fact that at the point that the district court had the admit deny hearing in the Pine County matter, the out of home placement timeline had been exhausted. So is that a per se basis for finding futility for reasonable efforts on the part of the county?
I can't find any case law that says that it is. And when I find the case law that I've been able to find, which I outlined in my my October 9th motion, the examples that I have of futility is, you know, father murdered the mother or a parent-child relationship never existed. This is a case where a parent-child relationship is not only strong, it's the only parent-child relationship that this child has. Mother has not demonstrated that she's disinterested in the child, which I think is another thing that I've seen in the case law, is when a parent demonstrates that they have no interest in assuming parental responsibilities, but they fight a TPR because they want to make things difficult for the other parent, or something similar to that, or if a parent has previously demonstrated that they are completely unwilling to work with the agency for a period of 365 days or a period of 180 days if the child is under the age of 8. I think what I'm getting at here is my understanding of timelines is that they are procedural and not substantive. Certainly timelines have value in that we cannot allow parents to just continue to make the same mistakes over and over without demonstrating that they are trying to improve the conditions that are leading to the basis of the CHIPS petitions, or in this case, the TPR petition. This is a woman who demonstrated that she's very committed to her child, to correcting the conditions that led to removal, but the agency didn't point out to her which conditions need to be corrected other than chemical dependency. And although I don't criticize Todd County for their reasonable efforts, and I acknowledge that Todd County made reasonable efforts in that the Todd County judge determined that the agency made reasonable efforts, I'm concerned in looking at this case that when we talk about what the underlying condition is that formed the basis of the petition, it's very easy to say the underlying basis is chemical dependency because chemical dependency is something that's fixable. When the month after the case gets dismissed, mother, who previously indicated she would probably struggle with making rent payments, then indicates to the social worker, I'm struggling with rent, and the social worker says, go apply for financial assistance. I can't help but ask, why didn't that happen during the CHIPS case? Wasn't that part of the underlying problem? Wasn't that part of the condition that led to removal? I'm not sure that it was chemical dependency so much as it was she didn't have a reliable network of people that she could rely on for providing childcare. Did that answer your question?
Go ahead, counsel. I mean, I appreciate you've got limited time, and I think you have answered my question in terms of the relationship to the time.
Your Honor, Your Honors, The point is that the court did order the agency to make reasonable efforts towards reunification. That was the order of the court. So I mean, if the court doesn't plan on analyzing the efforts that are put forward by the responsible social service agency, I think at the very least, mother is entitled to notice of that. She can't find out the day of the trial that the court doesn't care whether or not Pine County made reasonable efforts towards reunification. And in this case, Pine County did not make reasonable efforts towards reunification. Pine County didn't make any efforts towards reunification.
Well, I'm not sure you're being fair. Judge Bjorkman, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, weren't there efforts made to, for example, establish visitation between, and wasn't there support in terms of getting family members gas cards and things like that, and at least suggesting that there be some therapy, which I think there were four sessions attended around relationship trauma issues. I mean, why aren't those reasonable efforts?
Those efforts aren't geared at reunifying the family. And I think that when we're going to talk about whether or not we're exercising efforts, obligations that the county has by statute, the county by statute is required to provide visitation. So they weren't alleviated of having to provide reasonable efforts, but in addition to that, they have to provide
What service did mother need from the county other than getting the chemical dependency treatment she was getting at the time and seeing the child? What is unreasonable about that, or what is lacking that makes the efforts unreasonable?
What's lacking is that the basis that the county points out, the reason that the county thinks it's appropriate to terminate her parental rights, is because she has trauma history and unhealthy relationship dynamics. And neither of those things were ever addressed by Pine County. And frankly, they weren't addressed by Todd County. These are, you know, throw everything at mother, all of her shortcomings, despite whether or not you offered her any assistance in correcting these shortcomings, and reach the conclusion she's helpless or hopeless because the timelines are up. District court erred, and I'm requesting reversal because the agency was required to make reasonable efforts towards reunification. Thank you.
Counsel for respondent, you can begin when you're ready.
Thank you. And before I get started, can everyone hear and see me okay? Perfect. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Sydney Silko. I'm an assistant Pine County attorney, and I represent respondent Pine County Health and Human Services. I'm asking this court to affirm the district court's order terminating appellant's parental rights. Appellant attempts to frame this appeal by arguing that there are a couple of legal questions that require clarification from this court, but that's simply not true. The statutes that we're working with are unequivocally clear that on the plain language and on the face of the statute, that when a child is in court ordered out of home placement for 12 months, that the district court is required and the county is required to commence permanency proceedings and schedule an admit deny hearing. The statute is also unequivocally clear that for the purpose of calculating that 12 months, that prior court ordered out of home placement time under previous petitions counts for that 12 months, as long as the petitions were in within the last 5 years. And in fact, since briefs were submitted on this matter, this court did issue a recent unpublished decision that reiterated those statutes and how clear they are regarding the 12-month requirement and the requirement for permanency proceedings. That case is in the matter of the welfare of the child of J.A.J. and A.J.H. The number is A191901, and that was filed on April 20th. In this case, it's undisputed, and I think appellant would agree that it's undisputed, that the child had accumulated 355 days of court-ordered out-of-home placement under the prior Todd County petition within the last 5 years, and now was once again ordered back into foster care after her mother had put her in another high-risk situation, exposed her to some used, dangerous, dirty heroin needles. Mother was arrested. And we were back in another unfortunate situation. At that point, the county had no choice, according to those statutes, but to file a permanency proceeding, a permanency petition, and initiate the expedited proceedings and get that admit-deny hearing.
So, counsel, that's the part I want to understand better. You say that the county had no choice but to initiate expedited proceedings. Isn't the county's determination on pursuing expedited proceedings tied up in its decision to seek to be relieved of reasonable efforts?
Well, it is. And the alternative...
The county didn't have to do that based on the timelines. The county did not have to, as I see it, read the statutes, and I could be wrong. You practice in this area, I don't. The county did not have to seek to be relieved of its reasonable efforts.
So the alternative then, Your Honor, would be for the county to file a permanency petition, but I suppose a non-expedited permanency petition. And the reality of that is that the permanency petition would put the county and the court in the exact same position, where you don't have an underlying child protection file, an open case. You're filing a permanency petition and scheduling a trial within 60 days of the admit deny hearing. So whether it's expedited or not expedited, it's really the same result.
Well, there are other options. I guess what I'm trying to get at is the question I asked appellant's counsel. You were right. I think the parties do not dispute this child's out-of-home placement and that it triggered certain deadlines under the statutes. And you've outlined, I think, in a check-the-box kind of way, there were things that the county had to do. But the mother's response to that same motion by the county, you know, so your motion to expedite was the mother's request to extend the deadlines, which the court has the authority to do in the interests, but child's best interests, for a limited period of time. So it seems to me that this analysis that the district court latched onto, this mathematical analysis of how many days out of home, therefore it's futile for the county to provide reasonable efforts, just isn't accurate under our statutes, because there are other options available. It's not a per se rule. It is a discretionary basis in light of, like you said, there are multiple steps that could be taken, one of which is to pursue a permanency petition on the county's part to provide reasonable efforts, enter into a case plan, and the district court could even decide to extend deadlines as well.
So I agree that the district court does generally have discretion to extend timelines as another option. But given the facts of this case in particular, as well as the timelines, the district court did not have that option, because the options outlined in the statute for extending timelines when you're nearing that 12-month period involve, I believe the statute specifically says that the child has to be on a trial home visit with the parent. And if a trial home visit is initiated, then the court can extend permanency timelines for up to an additional 6 months. Now here, the court didn't have the option of ordering the child onto a trial home visit, because if you look at the dispositional statute, it defines trial home visit as the child remaining in the custody of the agency, but essentially being on this, quote, trial home visit, living with the parent, yet remaining in the custody of the agency. And that's only a dispositional option when you're at or after disposition. And in this case, there was not going to be any sort of adjudication or disposition before we were going to get to trial and run out of that 12-month timeline period. So I have to disagree in that the district court didn't have the option here to extend timelines. The only other alternative the court would have had would have been to order the child back into the custody of the mother immediately, thereby terminating the emergency protective care of the child in the agency's emergency protective care. That would stop the timeline clock, stop that 12-month clock, and then that would buy some more time. But that option was not presented. It's not an option that the district court took. And quite frankly, I don't think it's an option that the district court would have considered on the facts of this case at the time.
So the trial home, I'm sorry, Judge Bjorkman, you go ahead.
Well, I might be interrupting the flow, but I'm concerned that we have an order from the district court directing the agency to provide services to mother. And then, at the time of the TPR trial saying, oh, didn't matter because they didn't really have an obligation to do it. I mean, what do we make of that dichotomy?
Sure. So I agree. The district court did order the agency to put forth reasonable efforts, and the agency did so to the best of its ability within the 2 months or so from the court ordering that up until trial. And I think when you say, I don't know what to make of that, I think everyone was put on notice that the court was going to be analyzing reasonable efforts from this sort of unusual perspective, because the court made the prima facie findings for an expedited permanency proceeding and went ahead and scheduled that trial within 60 days. Therefore, it was unreasonable to expect that the court was going to be able to look back and analyze reasonable efforts from the more traditional perspective or sense that we see in our full-blown child protection files of, you know, was the case plan signed by everyone? Was it filed with the court, adopted by the court, et cetera, et cetera?
Ms. Carlson made the argument to us that, you know, how can the district court conclude that the efforts made by the agency were reasonable when, you know, one of the primary items cited, namely mother's trauma history and involvement in inappropriate romantic relationships that affect her parenting ability, was never subject of any services provided by the county?
Are you talking
about to that?
About Pine County specifically?
Yes.
So I think the response there, Your Honor, is that, and again, it all comes back to these timelines. With trial coming up so quickly, mother was in this chemical dependency treatment program. She was receiving therapeutic services within that treatment program, and there was the testimony received in that regard. There was testimony received that she was starting to work on, some EMDR therapy and starting to address her trauma. But when we have a case with chemical dependency as a main concern or a main factor, almost always case plans and reasonable efforts start with focusing on that chemical dependency treatment, because a parent can't make any progress on dealing with their past trauma if they're not first sober and stable. And so when this case opened, when the assigned caseworker was, or when the ongoing social worker was assigned to the case, mother was already in the chemical dependency treatment program, and that was facilitated through probation. She was arrested on this new offense, she was in jail, and she was either furloughed directly to the treatment program or went there shortly after she was released from jail. So at the time of Pine County getting involved and up until trial, you know, the social worker put forth reasonable efforts by continuing to check in with her, with mother's chemical dependency treatment counselor, with her individual therapist, with facilitating some family therapy and getting that going between mother and the child. But it was just really too soon for Pine County to move on to that next step and start talking about how are we really going to dig into your trauma history and focus on therapy, because the focus at that point was still really the chemical dependency.
So, counsel, what troubles me is we don't have any of that analysis in the district court's decision, because we don't have the district court assessing Pine County's reasonable efforts, even though, as you noted, I mean, there was this voluntary case plan. I mean, your analysis makes sense. I just don't find it anywhere in the district court's decision. The other thing I don't find in the district court's decision, you made this point pretty quickly, but it's an important one, that is that the district court made the findings necessary to expedite proceedings. It's literally true in that there is an order that says that, but we don't have any specific findings in that order expediting proceedings. The only argument that the county made was that proceedings should be expedited because reasonable efforts were futile. You know, and so you are implying in your brief that the judge made a futility finding. We actually don't have a futility finding here. So I keep asking myself whether this is a case that can be reviewed by this court, or whether we are missing findings that require a remand.
Sure. Well, I think this is an unusual situation in that when we were at that hearing and I requested the court to make the prima facie findings for an expedited proceeding and relieve the county of reunification efforts, I happened to mention that the county intended to offer voluntary services and a case plan to mother pending trial anyway. And I think what happened is the district court heard that information and glommed onto it. It heard appellant's concerns and it said, what's the harm in ordering the agency to put forth these reasonable efforts that it intends to put forth for the next couple of months anyway? And by doing so, the court sort of came up with this hybrid order where it, again, made the prima facie finding for an expedited permanency proceeding. It initiated that expedited permanency proceeding by scheduling the trial within 2 months, but it said, I'm going to go ahead and order the county to do this sort of two-month reasonable efforts plan. And you point out that the district court doesn't make specific findings about the case plan and the reasonable efforts in its termination of parental rights order. But I think that if you go back and look at the order, it does make findings with regard to that 2-month period within the window of time that the agency could reasonably work with mother pending trial.
All I saw in the district court's expedited order to expedite was paragraph 13, no services or efforts, and I'm just paraphrasing here, will allow the child to remain safely in the home given current circumstances at this time. And I read that as a pretty clear reference to the fact that mother's in residential treatment right now. It is not, in my opinion, an analysis of why reasonable efforts to reunite are futile. It doesn't seem consistent with our case law.
Sure. And I think everyone agrees that best practice would be for the district court to outline those findings in detail in that order. But there's also case law that says that that's not necessary, that the implied finding is appropriate. So I think once we overcome this question of whether or not it was appropriate for the court to initiate these expedited permanency proceedings, then this court has to move on to the standards of review, clear error, abuse of discretion, and whether or not it was appropriate for the district court to make the findings that the county had proven by clear and convincing evidence, the three statutory bases alleged in the petition, as well as the fact that a termination of parental rights was in the child's best interest. I feel that I outlined my response to appellant's argument pretty clearly in my brief, so I'm not going to, keeping an eye on the time here, I'm not going to go into much detail regarding those statutory bases unless there are specific questions. I would assume that this court sees a variety of termination of parental rights orders from across the state, county to county, judge to judge. And this is not a situation where you have an order that's short or unclear or a little bit ambiguous. To the contrary, this is an order that's pretty lengthy. It's very detailed. It includes many, many cites to the record. And I think it clearly details the district court's state of mind throughout the proceeding, as well as when it issued its order. So I would just remind this court to keep in mind that standard of review and avoid the request from appellant to try and retry some of the facts of the case. And then as such, I would respectfully request this court to affirm the district court's order. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for appellant, you can begin your rebuttal when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. And to clarify, I'm not asking that this court would retry the facts of the case. I'm identifying the fact that on October 14th, mother was told the agency was obligated by statute to provide reasonable efforts towards reunification. Nowhere in that order was any indication of, for the purposes of this specific case, reasonable efforts doesn't mean reasonable efforts. It means, you know, mere matters of form. I mean, we're not even scheduling of appointments. We're talking about contact, you know, having contact with a parent. That isn't reasonable efforts. That's that, again, this is stuff that's required, but if the efforts aren't geared at reunifying the family, how are they reasonable? If they aren't geared at correcting the conditions that form the basis of the petition, how are they reasonable? And to the argument that was just made that, you know, mother has these issues with relationships, she couldn't have addressed them until she got sober. Well, I don't think that you can hold it against her that she didn't address these issues that were never brought to her attention and that no assistance was offered to her in addressing and say, well, we couldn't get there because there were issues with your sobriety. I would disagree with the assessment that timelines are a sufficient reason to stop providing efforts towards reunification, especially in a situation where mother has demonstrated and did demonstrate in the Todd County case and in the Pine County case, commitment to working towards bettering herself as a parent, following through with the case plan and doing whatever was asked of her by the agency. And in this case, the agency provided her a voluntary case plan, one that they conceded she couldn't have realistically completed by the time that the trial happened, and one that they also conceded she completed as much of it as would have been feasible by the time we made it to trial. The agency was ordered by the court to provide reasonable efforts. And I do
so,
not-
counsel, do you have a response to respondent's argument about the inability to do a trial home visit based on the timelines?
An exercise of due diligence requires that the responsible social service agency, if that's what you have to do, then you have to modify disposition. I mean, I am not under a statutory obligation to provide reasonable efforts towards reunification, although I did everything I could to ensure that Pine County was meeting their statutory burden to provide reasonable efforts towards reunification. But I don't think that the fact that, it would have been an added step for them lets them off the hook. Oh, that would have been more work than we cared to do in this case because we were intending to win this TPR trial. So, you know, why are we even making reasonable efforts or anything of that form? I mean, the statute requires that there be a case plan that conforms with 260C.212 within 30 days of the filing of the petition. That didn't happen here. And I don't see where the court excused that. The court ordered the agency to make reasonable efforts. I don't see anywhere in case law or anywhere in 260C.301 or 260C.503 that would suggest that when the agency knows it's out of time, it can just kind of, you know, take it easy and phone it in because it's probably going to win the TPR trial. And I think that's what happened here. The agency didn't do its exercise of due diligence because it had every intention of winning the trial, and therefore, you know, why bother making efforts to reunify? I have great concerns about child protection law moving in this direction where the agency is able to make these determinations on its own without a court order in place that states you don't have to make reasonable efforts. Reasonable efforts is defined by statute. The court ordered the agency to make reasonable efforts, and if the court isn't going to analyze the efforts put forth by the agency, the court has to tell all the parties explicitly prior to the trial that it has no intention of analyzing the agency's efforts or lack thereof. This court needs to reverse because the agency was under court order to provide efforts and because the agency cannot alleviate itself of the responsibility to make efforts towards reunification as it did in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both lawyers in this case. This matter has been very well briefed and well argued. We appreciate that. So with that, the matter is now submitted to this court for a decision, and we will issue a decision within the statutory timeframe. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, this court actually will be in recess until our next argument is ready. We do have a second matter on the calendar, but we'll take a brief recess. So, thank you.